Baseball is full of 100-year-old traditions. Just like baseball, Gelati Construction is full of 100-year-old traditions, too. Ones the company still lives by and practices today. Now it's time for the greatest games in Giants history. Brought to you by Gelati Construction Company.
Marty Lurie here with Chris Haft. Chris says we have another great game in Giants franchise history. On this one, we're going to go back to July 29th of 1990. Now, the Reds come into Candlestick Park, and they had trouble in Candlestick Park, Chris. When this game is over, the Giants are going to have a seven-game winning streak against the Reds at Candlestick, and they will have swept the Reds in this series and a five-game winning streak overall. But this is a good one. There are 55,792 here. I was there as well, and I remember this game, Chris. I saw it. And the pitching matchups, which will be obvious, as Scott Gorelts, one of the best games he's ever pitched, against Jack Armstrong, Chris, a right-hander, and he was the all-star starter at Wrigley Field just a few weeks before this game. But for the Giants, they're home, their 100th game of the season, they're trailing the Reds by 6.5 going into this game, and it's at Candlestick and a very exciting day.
Very exciting day, Marty, and it was a very exciting season for these teams involved. You had the Giants, of course, the reigning National League champions, still had most of their championship-winning team intact. Scott Gorelts starting, who played such a big role for them in 89, a guy who manager Roger Craig could use in various roles, and he pitched in just about every role during his tenure with the Giants. Part of the excitement of the day was the Reds were in first place. They would ultimately become wire-to-wire winners in the division and then go on to win the World Series. But they had a great team, lots of fine individual players, including a guy, Barry Larkin, who went to the Hall of Fame ultimately. So when these teams play each other in the late 80s and early 90s, there's a lot of talent on the field.
Well, Chris, you're exactly right. In 1989, Scott Gorelts was 14-5 for the Giants with a 2.28 earned run average and led the National League that year. Well, here it is. It's Gorelts and Jack Armstrong, and it's going to be a good game, and the Giants are going to prevail in this one, but it's what happens during the game that makes it a great one. Lineups: Sabo, Larkin, O'Neill, Davis, Morris, Glenn Braggs, Oster, Jeff Reed behind the plate, and Armstrong on the hill. Giants: Brett Butler, Kingery, Will Clark, Williams, Rick Leach, Terry Kennedy, Robbie Thompson, Uribe, and Scott Gorelts there on the mound. Giants score in the first off of Jack Armstrong. Butler gets a double. Kingery gets on an error by the catcher, and Will Clark gets a base hit and an RBI when there's runners on first and second. Then they pull a double steal on Jeff Reed, but Rick Leach strikes out and Kennedy grounds out, so the Giants only get one there. Meanwhile, we go to the Reds' fifth. Scott Gorelts, Chris, has retired 12 straight until Eric Davis comes up and he walks on a 3-2 pitch.
Eric Davis, when he burst into stardom with the Cincinnati Reds in 86, I guess it was, 86, 87, a lot of people compared him to Willie Mays, which a lot of people think is blasphemy. Eric Davis was capable of doing something big like Willie Mays just about every time he stepped on the field. Now, with Scott Gorelts, he was in a way almost a pitcher's version of Eric Davis. With that split-finger fastball of his that he was taught by Roger Craig, he could retire anybody.
Well, he did here, and he walked Davis, but he still hasn't given up a hit. The Giants' sixth, Will Clark a base hit, Williams a base hit, and Rick Leach a base hit. Now the Giants are up 2-0. In the sixth inning, Jeff Reed hits a ground ball to Robbie Thompson, who goes to his right. He bobbles it just a little bit, and they just get Reed at first base, and the no-hitter is still intact, and it's getting a little bit exciting. And Chris, I was there, and you could get that feeling with 55,000 people at the park. Giants eighth. Terry Kennedy hits a two-run homer with Rick Leach on base, who had walked, and now it's 4-0 Giants, and the tension is starting to be palpable. You can feel it at Candlestick, as I say, with 55,000 there. All right, we go to the Reds' ninth. Todd Benzinger, who is a Giant at some point in his career, starts it off with a walk against Scott Gorelts. Now, for Gorelts, he gives up that walk, and he did walk a couple in this game, so it wasn't a perfect game for him. He ended up walking looking for. All right, Chris Sabo pops out to third. Barry Larkin pops out to first. And this brings up Paul O'Neill, a very good left-handed hitter, to face Scott Gareltz with immortality facing him in the right there. One more out, and he's got his no-hitter, which would have been the eighth no-hitter of 1990. They had seven no-hitters in 1990 already. So here we go. Paul O'Neill, Scott Gareltz.
Paul O'Neill was probably one of the last hitters, you know, Scott Gareltz wanted to face in this one. O'Neill is a great contact hitter, being a lefty against a righty, a guy who could really fire himself up at the plate. A solid all-around hitter, one who could read pitches very well, as unfortunately Scott Gareltz found out.
Well, the first pitch to Paul O'Neill is a fastball. It's right over the plate. And O'Neill whacks it into center field for a clean hit, no question. And there goes the no-hitter, 8 2/3 for Scott Gareltz.
You know, to me, the game still boils down to one pitch at a time, one out at a time, one inning at a time. You make your pitches, throw strikes, get, you know, make them put it in play. And I remember Big Daddy always saying all the time that, you know, if we got four runs, he felt like we should win the game.
He gets Eric Davis on a fly to left, and the game is over. For the Reds, Armstrong goes 8 innings, 8 hits, 4 runs. But for Scott Gareltz, a complete game, 9 innings, 1 hit, no runs, no home runs, obviously, 4 walks and 5 strikeouts for him. For Scott Gareltz, he had 3 hitters in his career and 2 in 1990. Now, this was a year where he walked 70 and struck out 80. It didn't look like great numbers. He ends up, this one, 9-7 on the year. He's got 2 complete games on the year. But in 1990, he goes 12-11 with an earned run average of 4.15. But on this day, it was his day, and the air went out of the stadium, Chris, and the Giants did win it. And they end up trailing the Reds by 6 when it's all said and done at the end of the year at 85-77. But what an exciting day for Gareltz. He ends up 69-53 in his career. He made 89 starts, 4 shutouts, 9 complete games, and he was a good relief pitcher, too. But, you know, these games that I saw, and I saw a few of them where the no-hitter was broken up with 2 out in the ninth, and boy, the tension is unbelievable, and it's a game you never forget.
Certainly is, Marty. I mean, we who covered the Giants saw it a couple times in recent years with Yusmeiro Petit coming one out away from a perfect game, my gosh. And then last season, Matt Moore at Dodger Stadium, you know, in the hostile territory, coming within one out of a no-hitter. You're lucky to see it, and you're lucky to see a no-hitter. Actually, kind of lucky to see even a frustrated one like that, but it just reminds you of how rare great pitching is.
Well, and you got to be lucky to get the no-hitter. And Gareltz went to 2 out in the ninth inning before Paul O'Neill busted it up. Well, that's another great game in Giants franchise history.
Dating back to 1914, Gelati Construction started with a group of devoted employees working hard to build an enterprise. Over the last 100 years, the number of achievements and completed projects are too numerous to name, but several stand out as examples of the excellent teamwork, engineering expertise, quality of craftsmanship, and attention to detail that have become hallmarks of Gelati Construction Company. Gelati Construction Company, celebrating over 100 years of history and general engineering experience.